turning to Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, we're up to verse 7, and we're reading to verse 9. Proverbs 17, verses 7 to 9. And in this section of God's Word, we have an introduction to foolishness. Now, you might say, well, I've been introduced to foolishness before in Proverbs. But this is an introduction to specific areas of foolish life. And they are contrasted with the life of the righteous, which we see in these verses. There is the pattern of speech that is not fitting the pathway of lying, which we already saw in verse 4. There is a bribe, which is what a gift is about. And then there is a contrast between peacemaking and talebearing. In other words, continuing to spread things about someone. This is the word of God. Listen carefully. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. The precious word of the living and the true God. So we've seen that this is an introduction to foolishness. It's an introduction to various types of foolishness. It's an introduction because it's actually unpacked for us in the verses that follow in different ways. What is this excellent speech that is not suitable for a fool? It is someone who is saying things that don't actually match who they are. And the contrast is seen. It is compared to the way that a prince would lie. It is not for someone who is in the position of royalty, someone who has that position in God's providence, to lie. Proverbs makes this clear. We've seen this in chapter 16, verses 12 to 13. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. It is the place of those who have been placed in that place by God, those who have this position to speak the truth. And if they do not speak the truth, they're actually compared to a fool who engages in speech that doesn't fit him. People know. People know that that person making that particular speech doesn't correspond to the speech that they're making. And they know that when a prince lies, when someone who's in a position by God, when that person does not love righteous lips and they engage in deception and lies, they are those who contrast by their words who they are. You see, that's what's happening for both the fool and the prince. They are contrasting who they really are. The fool is engaging in speech that doesn't match who he really is. And the prince, on the opposite side, is engaging in speech that is lesser than who he is. God says this to those who are engaging in speech that doesn't correspond to who they are. It's quite chilling. Psalm 50, verse 16. Unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee? God is saying that the words that are coming out of your lips, wicked people, is inconsistent with who you are. You are casting my words behind you. You're not listening to my instruction, and yet you take the words of my covenant on your lips. So God wants us to have a correspondence between what we say and who we are on the inside. And that's how the book of Proverbs has weaved its way into our being again and again, and showed us the contrast between that which comes out of our mouth and what we are like on the inside. It is wrong for a prince to engage in this type of lying, and it is wrong for a fool to engage in speech that doesn't match who he is. Everyone sees the contrast. Most of all, God. Even when Jesus Christ received a confession from a demon in his early ministry, he did not allow them to speak at that time. Mark 1:34 says that he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. It was not yet the time for Jesus' identity to be revealed, and the devils were not the ones who could take that opportunity to declare who he was. And so we need to understand that if we're going to have correspondence between who we are and what comes out of our mouth, we need to follow the instruction, the wisdom of God. We need the book of Proverbs. We need the book of Proverbs to help us to see a correspondence between who we are, and we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to bring about that which is not natural to ourselves. Because there's only one true prince, true king, whose lips did not lie. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called faithful and true in the Bible. He is actually the truth itself, as he tells us in John 14 and verse 6. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have this correspondence between what we say and who we are. It's only through Jesus that it can happen. But then we learn something else about the pathway of foolishness. It's not only not having a correspondence between who you are and what you say on one side or the other, it's also this matter of a bribe. And verse 8 is quite interesting, because verse 8 actually tells you about something that happens in the real world. It tells you about the success of bribery. And that's pretty striking. Because you would expect, you know, a warning against bribery, a declaration of how evil bribery is. But instead, what we get in verse 8 is a statement about how bribery is effective. The Bible is extremely realistic. The gift is a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth. It's amazing. It's saying that this gift, this bribe, is like a precious stone. My precious. It's the thing that attracts the person who has it. And that's why it's effective, because it draws people. It draws people. That's why bribes are used in the scriptures and in the history of the world to oppress people. That's why bribes result in people being dominated and manipulated and confused, because the bribe is effective. The bribe actually accomplishes the thing that the person bribing wants it to. The Bible's being extremely realistic here. It says, in Proverbs 15, verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. It's possible to be so attracted to gain, so drawn to the bribe, so drawn to that which it accomplishes, that you actually cause trouble to come upon your own household. The supreme example of this, of course, is Judas. You know what happened with Judas. You know that he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that verse that was used of him from Psalm 109 and verse 8 is used in Acts chapter 1. Psalm 109 and verse 8 says, "Let his days be few and let another take his office." The person who, for pieces of silver, for a small sum of money, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. Judas. If there's no place in the Bible where you can see that a bribe is effective, you see it there. You see how Judas completely confuses the earthly and the heavenly in terms of their scale of importance. Judas follows down the earthly path all the way to his own death at his own hand because he was drawn to this bribe, because it was like a precious stone to him. And he was willing to surrender the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this was all for a purpose. We know that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he demonstrated the generosity of God. God who cannot be bribed, who shows no partiality. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not able to be swayed by money. They ask him a question about a coin, he gives a wise answer. But he's not attached to the money. He's not attached to the bribe. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, was coming to provide for us a different relationship to bribes. He was coming to provide for us a different relationship to the people that would benefit from the generosity of God. And so in Luke chapter 14, Jesus unpacks what this looks like when he says, "When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say to thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of him that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And then he says this, "Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." What's Jesus saying? He's saying, don't think about your relationships to people, even when you invite them over for dinner and you show hospitality. Don't think about it in terms of bribery. Don't think about it in terms of those who can advance you. Don't think about it in terms of those who can repay you. Because what you are designed to do in God's providence is be a representation of the generosity of God that is expressed in Jesus Christ. And when you relate to people that way, when you go against the pattern of the person drawn by the bribe, you are representing the generosity of God in a way that God will remember at the day of judgment. You see, he's actually building a different relationship between us who are renewed in Jesus Christ, who are formed after the Spirit, and the people of this world. We are in the opposite pattern compared to Judas. That's a good thing, that we would not represent Judas to the fallen world, but Christ. And that is what Jesus Christ has come to provide for us to be able to do. And so then we look at verse 9, and we see something else. We have seen the pattern of those who would show the inside by the words on their outside and show how there's a contrast between them. We've seen the effectiveness of bribes and how Jesus Christ has brought about a different way of relating to people. And now we see this difference between peacemaking and talebearing in verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Peacemaking versus talebearing versus repeating the thing that separates friendships. Proverbs 10 and verse 12 says this, hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 16 verse 28 said, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Those two matters of covering sins and separating people because of them are given to us in this verse. Now, it's very important that we don't interpret verse 9 in separation from verse 10, which we'll see next time. Verse 10, that speaks about reproof. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. There's a place for reproof. There's a place for rebuke. Don't go too far off of that podium, Bill. You're going to hurt yourself. And the kinds of things that we react to as children, many times they're reproofs. They're things that we need for our good. You're going to hurt yourself. You are going to hurt yourself. I've told you this before. There's a place for that. There's a place for that kind of reproof. But what we need to understand is that there's also a place for covering. There's a place for covering those things that are transgressions and sins. And that's what verse 9 is telling us about. The place of veiling someone's sin. The place of covering it over out of love. And that is a benefit of being related to Jesus Christ that we have in a fallen world. It's very important. Because it's possible for us, when we know someone, when we begin to know a little bit more about them, it's possible for us to find many things that we might point out about that person. It's possible for us to find many things that that person did or said that would be sinful. And we all know that we're related to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all know that he came to pay the price for our sins. But sometimes our relationships to one another aren't characterized by the same kind of response toward that sinfulness as the Lord Jesus Christ exhibited. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now you might think repeating a matter is like saying it again and again, week by week, as the years go by, like a dripping faucet, again and again, nagging the person with the thing that they did wrong. But the language here is actually talking about saying it one more time. You see, what we're really looking at is the difference between forgiveness, true forgiveness in Christ, because we've been forgiven, and the tendency that we have to say it just one more time. Proverbs 18 verse 8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. We can wound people by reminding them of sin that has been forgiven in Christ, and that we say we have forgiven. And so when we're talking about this matter of covering transgression, we need to understand that it only, can only come about by being related to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can only reach this place by learning from the Lord Jesus Christ and by drawing strength from him. If you cover over someone's sin, are you compromising with sin? Are you excusing it? Well, verse 10 talks about reproof. There's a place for reproof. But there are other motivations that come in. What if you just want to make that person your friend? What if you just want them to like you? Well, it's very easy to say, I forgive you, because you want that person to like you. But you see, that brings us back to verse 7. That brings us back to an inconsistency between what we say and what we're really like on the inside. I just wanted the person to like me. That's why I said I forgave them. But it wasn't true forgiveness. You see, what the Bible is talking about is personal offenses that we cover. That we cover because we're related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Or someone's sins or failures that are not our particular responsibility. And so it's important that we realize that there are times when people repent, when they turn aside and they ask for forgiveness. And we, if we are joined in Jesus Christ, and if we understand from the inside what forgiveness means, what we've been given, we're able to cover, to veil their sin in such a way that we don't bring it up as the jab, that we don't bring it up that one more time. You see, the fight on the playground. Some of you have been to public school, and maybe you know a little bit about what I'm talking about. There's a fight, and it's broken up. And the teacher comes along and says, shake hands. Or the parent comes along and sees the fight and says, shake hands. And they shake hands, and they begin to walk away. And then, if you're quick enough, you can see the little jab given right before the person walks away. They didn't really shake hands. They didn't really cover what was done. They didn't really forgive. And you see, we can be like that as believers. But this is actually a way of showing in our relationships what Jesus Christ has done for us. What has been accomplished in the presence of the living God. And when it applies to personal offenses, it is a high privilege. It is a privilege that we have that shows us that we are on the path of those who are growing in the wisdom that is provided in Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of wisdom to know when to cover a transgression versus when to rebuke. And the Holy Spirit will give you that wisdom. But we must need to understand that when we pass by the things that people say, the little things, the irritating things, even sinful things for which they have asked forgiveness, we know that we are growing in the love of God that is demonstrated in Jesus Christ. Now, next time, we're going to look at reproof. We're going to look at rebellion. We're going to look at more examples of foolishness. But we need to understand that the path of wisdom is carved out for us in Jesus Christ. He did not respond to a bribe. He brought about a kingdom that is demonstrating a different way of relating to the world, a way of relating to the world that is like the invitation in Luke 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is bringing about integrity between our speech and what we are like on the inside, so that we don't advertise ourselves in a way that's not fitting because we're not who we say we are. We don't use positions of authority to say things that are unrighteous and deceptive. We don't follow the bribe where it goes. And we don't follow the pathway of this kid on the playground that has to get one more jab in. Because we've been given the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We're able to cover a transgression and seek love. You see, that's the pattern. Seeking love in your relationships. The love that you've been given in Jesus Christ. The love that is continually yours. Every day when you wake up in the morning. so many sins simply covered, not repeated. I might even forget them. But God has covered them because I've come to God in Jesus Christ. And he has said, your sins are covered because my son has paid for them. End of story.